Carbonly Conversation.
Quick question. Is this the podcast? Are we doing the podcast right now?
Well, welcome back, everyone. Shane and Chad's been, we've been a lot of things. One of the things we've been is a little bit more inconsistent this year, which is part of the natural flow or the natural carbonly calm of it all. I'm a little riffing here, but like we're probably going to move to not weekly, but bi-weekly, but we're also trying to be sustainable human beings in the rest part of our lives. So we're back. For another recording, we also want to acknowledge that we might not have been in your feed every Wednesday like we promised we were for, I think, 75 episodes in a row, which is a pretty good streak.
Yep.
So, Shane, I know we just were just chatting about life, catching up on some of the things going on in Columbus and some fun shows or dumb fun shows. But I was thinking maybe when I look out my window, it's looks warm and sunny. A bunch of the trees are blooming and flowering. There's not quite tulips, but there's definitely daffodils and crocuses blooming across the city. But what I'm getting to is it's spring. Feels like spring. Looks like spring. It actually is spring. It's crispy still, so it's not hot yet. So I'm just thinking, like, I'm in the mood for a rant. It's springtime, so maybe there's some springtime cleaning rants. But let's just turn it over to see what we got. And
definitely, I mean, I'm looking forward to spring. Same here. It's been raining all morning, but it'll actually be 70 degrees by 4 o'clock. So,
Is it hot? Our high right is now? 60.
No, it's cool. It's probably like 50 at least right now.
Okay, we're at 52, but it was 40 morning.
We're at 52. But it's going to be 669 is the high, and I think it'll be around 4 o'clock is when it'll be 69 degrees. So that's great weather. Everyone knows my gardening journey, and this is like a gardener's like heaven right now for the, to have these temperatures this early on in the year. Like I can already see there's already a lot of little sprouts growing up. I moved my raspberry bushes from out front to out back a couple weeks ago, and now the place where I moved them from out front, you see a lot of little sprouts growing up where the raspberry bush went underground, and then there were
the little runners that are coming
the out little around. Runners I mean, so there's like six runners already off of one bush that I planted last year. So once those get a little bit bigger, I'll move those out back to where I kind of want to have my whole berry section this year. So
the berry section. I love that. Well, when Lauren comes and visits, we'll have to like hide them because she is a raspberry fiend. So
hopefully they'll be prosperous. Cause nothing like a fresh raspberry or strawberry.
Dynamite. Definitely. You know? Yeah, spring. It's funny, I was reading, I think today in the New York Times, the morning newsletter, they were talking about spring cleaning and giving people hints about don't feel so overwhelmed about all the spring cleaning that you could or should or would do. And instead, I think their tip of the day was, break it into little things, and this is what I'm going to do now. So I'm going to do later instead of getting overwhelmed with it. Like, I think that's a good tip, but at the same time, like, there's nothing more gratifying, right? Than like, it made me actually think about my windows. Like, I want to clean the shit out of those windows because it's spring and it's clear and it's, maybe that's what I'll actually do this afternoon. After we watch Dune 1, because we're going to go see Dune 2 tomorrow.
Have you seen that yet? I haven't seen either. I've heard good things. I've heard some people have watched Dune 1 and still didn't know what it was about. Like, yeah. So But there's a lot of advertisements for them going on TV right now.
Apparently, everyone loves Dune 2, no matter what you think about Dune 1 or even understood it or even watched it. Like, it's a rare movie that seems to hit its stride that people enjoy.
Are you going to the theater?
Yeah, we got
still in theaters.
Yeah, it's still in theaters. We got tickets to go to the Alamo tomorrow.
Okay.
But that means some basketball today and Dune 1 today. But I think I can watch Dune 1 and clean the windows.
And,
and that's like kind of like my tip or hack is like, don't feel like, oh, you could make a list, but just do some of it while you're doing something else and enjoy the day while you're doing it. It'll reinvigorate you. I think is a good way, word. But I don't know. Do you have like a laundry list of spring clean items that you like to do or need to do outside of the gardening?
The gardening's one. I have a little project going on out front again. But when it comes to indoors, I don't know if I have windows. I definitely need to clean some windows. So I'll add that to the list. But one tip that I guess inspires me or gives me more motivation to clean is like you said, like I knock it off in small pieces. So like one of my tips is start with one room, like start in one room, get everything that you want to get done. If it's something that can be done, you know, within an hour or so, get that over with. I always feel better when I like start with my living room because that's the main room. That's the first room that you see when you walk in the house. So whenever that's clean and tidy, it kind of inspires you to clean up the rest of the house, you know?
Yeah. It like spreads like the also like you probably do this maybe purposely, but also like unintentionally because it's the first room you see, like he greeted by the cleanness or the orderly.
So if you walk into a mess, it kind of like makes you just want to do nothing because you just feel defeated and you're like, oh man. But if you walk into a clean room, it, like I said, it inspires like, oh, well, let me go upstairs to the bedroom and spend an hour on the bedroom, you know? And that's another thing is sometimes I'll actually set a timer. I'll just be like, all right, I'm going to work on this room for an hour, get done whatever I can get done within this hour. So I'll set a timer, put on some music, put on a podcast, whatever, and work for an hour straight on that room, whatever it may be, you know?
I love
that. Once that hour's over with, if I feel like continuing, fine. Like if there's just a little bit more time I need, I'll do that, or I'll take a break or move on to another room.
That's solid advice. Yeah. I think spring is sprung. Like, and there's, I mean, we've talked about thrifting 1,000 times. Everyone knows about thrifting. It's a good time to like go through your stuff, downsize what you don't need. I mean, this is the kind of the time of the year where you kind of want your winter clothes out yet, just in case, but eventually you're going to put them away.
Yeah.
Pull out your spring, summer clothes so that, is there stuff that doesn't fit or you didn't actually wear the whole time during the winter?
Yep.
Like start consolidating. And then whether it's Goodwill or, you know, there's this shop in Brooklyn, a thrift shop that just was popping up today. Because apparently there's a Bushwick style. Have you heard this?
No.
So apparently there's a way of styling and being like how you dress that's pretty unique currently. Unique is the wrong word because it's why I heard about it. It's already beyond Bushwick and now it's like in Hollywood and on the runway and other places. But on the New York News this morning there, or on Friday or Thursday morning, one of the guys that like he has a thrift shop that's constantly like being picked over for the Bushwick style. And he's like, Bushwick style is kind of over. Like, this stuff is, like, it starts, it goes, it ends, and then something else comes. Like, that's just the name of the game.
Yeah.
But
so I'm looking at it now. There's
someone actually used the word mullet as part of the Bushwick style, and I think big pieces, like a mullet coat that looks angular or just something that looks fashionable and actually comfortable, but also maybe a little obtrusive is the way I interpreted it, but doesn't mean I'm right.
It's interesting. Anyways, I've started to Well, on style, and please don't come to our podcast with style tips, but our first style tips. But I kind of did what you're saying. I've went through my closet. I've made a pile of things that I want to get rid of, but some of it is nicer brands that I feel like I can get a few dollars for. So I've started, sure, made a profile on Mercari. And then there's another app called Depop. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like it's like a younger people stuff where you can buy like old trucker hats and just stuff that young people are buying. And so I've started to post things on there. And one of the styles now that's really big is Y2K. So like anything from like the early 2000s, that's like glittery or like, you know, was made in the early 2000s are like really popular right now too.
Do they use the robots to make it really easy to just take a picture and it creates a listing and all the things categorizes it for you really quickly?
I think Mercari, you can have AI make the description for you. But I'm not sure if Depop does. It's kind of just you add your photos, you add your description, you add the brand, the size, things like that, and post it. But it's pretty cool. And you can find some things on there. Like I ordered a hat from a guy who all he sells is hats, you know what I mean? And he's got like 1,400 hats on his profile.
It sounds like, remember in Louisville, is it Florida Flea?
Yeah.
You know, like just online version of that, right?
Yep. So that's big. I mean, just this morning I sold an old mirror that I've had for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years that I bought for maybe $60 at the most at Target. I don't need it anymore. I sold it for $35 this morning on Facebook Marketplace. The girl came and picked it up, you know?
So in some ways, I'm going to go on a economic rant of like, so there's thrifting, there's like donating to thrift stores, right? Which feels easier to do. You can just lump it all in and get rid of it. So for maybe large families, suburban homes, you know, just groups that have collected stuff for many different reasons over time, that might be an easy solution. But we also know a lot of those clothes, a lot of those things don't get repurposed or get sold because it's manually tracked. And yes, we talked about Goodwill has now got an online store and like a product line. And that's where I think referencing the robots, like I think they can post like, I don't know, we'll have to go back and find the data, but like a large amount of things a minute because of robots.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they get a picture of the shirt or whatever it is. So like I get there's an avenue for that. But we've been kind of on this lane of like, how do you sell this secondhand, third hand, you know, meaning you got it from someone else, you used it and sold it. Because there's almost something that intrinsic in that value. If someone's going to pay some money for it, they're going to come and use it, take care of it. And a carbonly way is the sense like it's not going to the landfill. Their demand has been diverted from Target because it didn't originally start at Target, but then to you, and then it'll be in their house. Maybe because they bought it that way, they also enter on that channel. They'll sell it 2 or 3 years down the road themselves. And that mirror can just turn into an ongoing reusable product and like that reduce, reuse, recycle. So it's really hitting two things. It's reducing the demand for new and reusing all because you're selling it, you know, and that intrinsic value of like, it's worth something to me. I'm going to go get it. And it's cheaper than getting it at Target. And I wonder if there's a renaissance of that with the like economically speaking, that's just good business to the point of like, we talked about that 2 or 3 episodes ago, like there's other businesses trying to like Nike does this and even Allbirds has a repurposed store, right? I think Supreme probably doesn't, but I thought Supreme was referenced in there.
Probably not. Yeah. But Supreme, I mean, they it's
definitely,
their stuff. I mean, the resale value of certain of their items, because like to add to that is like the advantage that apps like Depop and just regular people that want to flip things have on Nike and things like that is like you can literally sell, you can sell things for more expensive than what they even cost when they were brand new, certain items, you know, which is just
a little crazy.
Yeah. And like the younger generation, they're very into buying secondhand things and they're willing to pay money for. I mean, you look online, there's some Carhartt jackets that are 20 years old that are selling for $400 with rips and tears in them, you know, but it's like, you can't find that character in a brand new jacket. So like people are willing to pay that money because of the character, of course, the brand name. But it's really cool.
I have like 40, maybe 50 Led Zeppelin t-shirts from when I was a teenager to my early 20s.
Some of them might be worth $300. Yep.
Because I know you can't get them. Like I even got like concert shirts from them when they retoured on the Unleaded tour.
Oh man, you're sitting on a chunk of money, Chad. Seriously, like you should find a reseller there in New York or Brooklyn and just see how much like they would buy them from you in bulk. But there's people that'll, I mean, some of them might be worth, especially if they're made in U.S. So there's two things that people really look for. Made in USA is big, okay, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
If it's single stitch, that means that's like a verification of it being older. T-shirts used to be made with just single stitches on the sleeves and around the collar. Now it's like double stitch. So if it's single stitch, that shows it's old. And then the band tees, or if they're original band tees and not reprints, that adds to the value.
Yeah, they're probably somewhere in the middle because they're not like from the 70s, so the, you know, which is when
Zeppelin
was in its heyday. But it was definitely when I found out and bought everything I could Led Zeppelin themed. So interesting. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of value in doing this spring cleaning shit and finding other people to value the things you no longer need. I wonder if that could just be like a carbonly cycle, like every quarter. Have you ever watched Monty Python? The
male strippers?
No. Monty Python and the Quest of the Holy Grail. It's like
I've heard of it from the
70s, 80s.
Probably not then if it's that old.
But there's a bit, there's a sketch in the movie where it's like the plague, the Dark Ages plague, whatever, dying. And they got these guys with a cart and they're like, out with your dead, you know, out with your dead. And like all the people are dragging the dead people that died from the plague in their house and they're carting them away to wherever they're taking them. And the whole stick is like the one guy throws the other guy in the cart and he's like, hey, I'm not dead yet. You know, I was like, but you will be, you know, like, so it's like, you know, like, not yet. Oh, you're, so that's the joke. But like, maybe on like a carbonly cycle or just like, you know, spring clean, fall clean, summer, winter, like reprieve, like how do you promote that? Make that a thing or like that brings more attention to this secondary, tertiary market of goods.
Yeah.
Which reduces and reuses and actually has economic value because of the way these platforms have been built to make it really easy. And because we all have one of, not all, but the majority of people have one of these.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there's younger people that are making a living off of this, especially if they become popular on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, there's YouTube pages that are getting millions of views of just watching people thrifting. It's literally someone with a camera at the thrift store buying stuff and showing you what they're buying.
Which really gets to the heart of like, I think, fact of the beginning, the origins of Carbonly, right? We talked about this stuff. Our moms did this. We were with them. Like growing up, we did this to like, that's what we could or thought was best.
Yep.
And it's also become a marketplace. It's a topic. It's a influence campaign. But it just really starts from like necessity, some of this stuff.
Yeah.
That woman bought it. And was it just because she got a really good mirror? I thought you said a woman, so I may be biasing tracking here. Bought that mirror $35 or was just like, this is what I can afford to get the mirror I need at my.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of situations of the people that I sell to, it is that this particular young lady, she probably was in her mid-20s. I think she's probably a fan of buying secondhand. She definitely looked like she could have definitely afforded to go and buy the same mirror brand new. Ooh,
more biases, but yeah.
But yeah, yeah. But what do I truly know? So
yeah, we're not in their checkbooks, right? Thank God. But that just brings back to, you know, some of the other origin stories. Like, I'll include myself. I'm a little bit older here. People our age and definitely younger, the millennial Gen Zs, like when polled, when asked, when surveyed, they want to save their sustainability, reusability. Like, that's important to them, and they'll spend money on it. And I think that's showing up in a lot of these ways that Gen X, baby boomers maybe were, maybe weren't, or said they were, but they never spent a lot of money and time on
it. Yeah.
Because it was just convenient, easier, just the habit we all had of going to Target and Walmart and filling our carts. Because, to be honest, it's easier, especially if you have kids, you know.
And Amazon, just ordering everything you need.
Oh, my God. Well, that kind of brings us up. Maybe it's a good way to like land this ship. Remember I sent you that screenshot where Amazon has climate pledge friendly sustainable product.
Yep.
In essence, you can filter what you're looking for through that lens. So climate friendly pledges. I'm not sure what that means, but that wasn't there the last time I was Amazon shopping, which is fewer.
I guess it depends on what you're looking for. I know there's an option. I don't know if it's for everything, but like, sometimes when we order things off Amazon, there's an option for more eco-friendly packaging. So like if the package the product already comes in is good enough to ship it in that, they'll maybe like they just ship it in that instead of putting it in an extra box. But
yeah, and I think you get that option on your Amazon day, like ship all and on the same day.
Yeah, and the same packaging thing.
Yeah.
But me personally, and this is, I guess, another tip for a Carbonly tip for people out there is if you do order a lot from Amazon, I like Amazon boxes because they're, you know, they have logos and things on there, but they're pretty much pure cardboard. There's not a bunch of added printing on it and things like that. And yeah. I mean, I take the tape off and I use it as weed tarp. So when I'm laying down new mulch or something like that, lay down cardboard boxes, put your soil or mulch over it, and it's a natural weed tarp for you. It'll prevent weeds
from growing up, degrade and biodegrade over time.
Yeah. I mean, within a couple months, if you need to plant something, you'll be able to poke right through it with your hand shovel or anything like that to plant something. So
come here for the gems. Look at that. Yep. Amazon, reuse.
Yeah.
What a rant. Carbonly rants complete. I feel a little bit better, Shane. How do you feel?
I feel good. I like to share this, my little bit of knowledge I have with some people. So same here. Hope everyone enjoys their weekend.
Spring is here.
If you're listening to this. Yeah. Spring is here. Looking forward to growing some food.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Tis the season.
So
have a great Carbonly weekend and rest of your time. Everyone in you, Shane.
Adios.